We'll now move to question time. Senator Birmingham. Here.
Thanks, President. President, my question is to the Minister representing the Prime Minister, Senator Wong. Minister, rather than using the weasel words we've become so accustomed to from Labor ministers of "we have no plans," which the Australian public now know will precipitate yet another Labor broken promise, can you and will the Prime Minister categorically rule out any change or changes that limit the use of negative gearing or franking credits by Australians?
Thank you, Senator Birmingham. Minister Wong.
Thank you, President. It's something that the opposition is so interested in talking about what the government is not doing, because of course they can't talk about what the government is doing, because that particular negative campaign has fallen flat, hasn't it, President? The reality is those opposite are desperate to find another front, because after a lot of huffing and puffing, they're now backing Prime Minister Anthony Albanese's TAC plan. That is what they are doing. So they're desperate now. They are desperate now to talk about what we are not doing instead of what we are doing. We have made our position on those. Which promise might you break?
Senator Wong, please resume your seat. Order on my left. Order.
Senator Cash. Minister, please continue.
We are reforming the income tax system, and we are providing income tax relief to Australians who are doing it tough. That's what we are doing. That is our focus. We are not looking at other changes in the tax system. We are looking at the changes in the income tax system. And the reason we are doing that is because Labor MPs, Labor senators, ministers have understood how important it is for us to respond to cost of living pressures. I know you don't want to talk about
it. Senator Wong, order, order. I have Senator Birmingham on his feet.
Senator Birmingham.
President, matter direct relevance. The question did not mention income tax. The question invited the minister very clearly to address community concerns on negative gearing and franking credits. The minister has not come near either of those two specific topics raised in the question. I ask you to draw her to the question.
Thank you, Senator Birmingham. Minister Wong, I will withdraw you. I'll draw you to Senator Birmingham's question.
That'd be interesting. I would have to accept it. We are not proposing any other changes in the areas that the senator has outlined.
Order.
But I again say to anybody listening, understand what is happening here. Those opposite have backed Anthony Albanese's tax plan. That's what they've done,
Senator
and now they're trying to distract from it with another scare campaign.
Senator Wong, the time for answering has expired. Senator Birmingham, first up.
Thanks, President. Well, President, I note the continuation of the words Australians now know mean a backflip, like not proposing any other changes at this stage continue. Ministers, including the Prime Minister, have previously refused to explicitly rule out changing the taxation treatment of the family home. Will the Minister and the Prime Minister rule out categorically rule out applying capital gains tax or any other tax to the family home, or do the weasel words apply there too?
Thank you, Senator Birmingham. Minister Wong.
Here we go again. Another day, another Dutton's attempted scare campaign.
Order.
No, we are not proposing that those tax changes either. And the reality is, everybody knows that you know what is embarrassing? You backing Albo. That's what's embarrassing for you. That's what you can't bear, Senator McKenzie,
Senator
isn't it?
Dunham.
After all that huffing and puffing, you've realised actually Anthony Albanese got it right. That's what you've realised. Now you've come in here and you've gone, oh my goodness, we better come up with another scare campaign so that hopefully people won't notice that we're backing the Prime Minister. You're backing a Labor Prime Minister's plan because you know he did it right. You know he got it right. You know he got it right. And so now you've got to try and find something else to fight about.
Minister, when you finish, Senator Cash, Senator Birmingham's on his feet.
Thank you, President. Again, direct relevance. Could Minister Wong at least utter the words family
Senator
home in her
Birmingham.
Answer?
No. Senator Birmingham, order, order. The Minister was being relevant. Minister, did you wish to finish?
We are not proposing any changes of the type you were describing, but I want to say again, everybody, I am so pleased that the opposition has finally understood that
Senator
Prime Minister
Wong.
Anthony Albanese has got
Wong.
It right.
Senator Birmingham, just a moment, please. Order. I've had to call the chamber to order a number of times, particularly on my left. I've named senators, I've called you to order, and you've ignored me. I expect you to respect my calls. Senator Birmingham, second supplementary.
Thank you, President. Well, after the Prime Minister broke his promise made on more than 100 occasions to not change Stage 3 tax cuts, broke his promise to not change superannuation tax arrangements, how can Australians believe a word of this minister or the Prime Minister when all they come out with are the weasel words of "we have no plans" or "we are not proposing any changes at this time," when every time they've said that, they go and break the promise afterwards?
Thank you, Senator Birmingham. I'm waiting to call Senator Wong. Senator Brown. Senator Brown, I should not have had to call you twice. Minister Wong. Minister Wong.
Well, if the opposition really believe that the Prime Minister's
Order.
Decision was so wrong, if they really believed that the Prime Minister's decision was so wrong, then they would vote against these tax cuts. They would vote against, and they would go to the next election with their deputy leader's policy of rolling these changes back. Because as soon as they vote for this, what we know is they are agreeing that Prime Minister Albanese did the right thing by Australian workers.
Senator Tony.
Very much, President.
Order.
Hello, everyone.
Order.
Happy New Year. Thank you very much, President. It's good to be back. My question, President, is to the Minister representing the Prime Minister, Senator Wong. Minister, the Albanese government recently announced that it will deliver tax cuts for every single Australian taxpayer. That's nearly 14 million people. Nearly 14 million people. Can the Minister please explain to the Senate how Federal Labor will deliver a bigger tax cut for middle Australia, which will help the cost of living and build on our targeted relief while also not adding to inflation?
Thank you, Senator Ciccone. Minister Wong.
Thank you, President, and I thank Senator Ciccone for the question, and I also welcome him back and take the opportunity again to congratulate he and Sarah on the beautiful Amato, who we had the pleasure of meeting yesterday, although he was asleep. The Albanese tax government is delivering a tax cut for every Australian taxpayer, and our number one priority is addressing inflation and cost of living pressures. And that is exactly what we are doing. These are tax cuts which help with cost of living while making Australia's tax system fairer. And just like the other measures that the government has introduced to assist people with cost of living, our tax cuts won't add to inflation. Treasury's advice is very clear on that. We on this side have listened to the community and we have listened to Treasury, and this plan is the result. Labor is delivering fair and responsible tax cuts for all 13.6 million taxpayers. All 13.6 million taxpayers. And Senator Rustin may make funny noises over there about that, but you know, having everybody get a tax cut, we reckon, isn't bad. And do you know what? 11.5 million people will get a bigger tax cut. A bigger tax cut. 84% of Australian tax cuts. This change means that taxpayers earning less than $45,000 will now receive a tax cut. An average worker. an average worker on 73 grand will receive a tax cut of more than 1,500, and a person earning 100,000 will get a tax cut of nearly 2,200. You see, we on this side are doing the right thing for the right reasons. More help for families, more help for communities under pressure with the cost of living, and a better deal for 5.8 million working women. 5.8 million working women will be better off as a result of the decisions of this government.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Ciccone, first supplementary.
Thank you very much, President. Thank you, Minister. Minister, can you please also confirm that every Australian taxpayer, which does include our scientists, our tradies, our nurses, our researchers, our teachers, engineers, firefighters, hospitality workers and retail assistants, and every other hard-working taxpayer in this country will get a tax cut under the Albanese government's plan?
Thank you, Senator Ciccone. Senator Wong.
Well, under this plan, every single taxpayer gets a tax cut, no matter what they earn. I know that's hard for you, but that's what's going to happen. And you know, from pilots to police to tradies, couriers and councillors, every hard-working taxpayer will get a tax cut. 90% of Australian working women will get a bigger tax cut. 90%. 97% of childcare workers, disability carers, aged care workers will get a bigger tax cut. 98% of teachers will get a bigger tax cut. It's crystal clear that every taxpayer needs and deserves a meaningful tax cut. And the fact is that wouldn't have happened under Scott Morrison's plan, but under Prime Minister Albanese's plan, it will happen now. Labor wants people to earn more and to keep more of what they earn. To keep more of what they earn, and that is what this delivers.
Thank you, Senator Wong. Senator Ciccone, second supplementary.
Thank you again, President. I thank the Minister for that response. Could the Minister please also explain to the Senate what the response has been, not just from the public at large, but also experts, to the government's plan to deliver the tax cuts to every single taxpayer?
Thank you, Senator Ciccone. Just before I call you, Senator Wong, I'll just remind you to refer to people in the other place by their correct titles.
Mr. Prime Minister?
Yeah, Mr. Morrison.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Mr. Morrison. with a plan that delivers a tax cut for every Australian taxpayer, that's nearly 14 million Australians, no surprise it has been widely welcomed by the public, by experts and by economists. Unfortunately, those opposite seem to be very begrudgingly voting for it, realising belatedly that it is the right plan. But I would remind people, when we first announced this plan to give every Australian taxpayer a tax cut, Deputy Leader Susan Lee said they will, quote, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely roll these changes back.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, what's happened to that? What happened to absolutely rolling them back? Because if you absolutely believe this is absolutely the wrong thing to do, then you would absolutely vote against it and absolutely go to the election to absolutely roll them back. You know this is the right plan.
Thank you, Senator Wong. Senator Hume.
My question is to the Minister representing the Treasurer, Senator Gallagher. On the 11th of December last year, Treasury was instructed to undertake work that included changes to the Stage 3 tax cuts. Following that instruction, the Prime Minister and the Treasurer stated at least a dozen times that they hadn't changed their position on Stage 3 tax cuts, including when the Prime Minister said, "We're not reconsidering that position." But we know now that the government was lying.
Senator Hume, withdraw.
Madam President, I am conscious.
Senator Hume, you're not in a debate with me. I've asked you to withdraw. That's what I want you to do.
Madam President, I would say I'm not impugning a particular member of Senator the government,
Hume,
but the government was
Senator
lying.
Senator Hume, I have just instructed you, one, to withdraw, and two, not to argue with me.
Madam President,
please
I won't argue with you, Madam President, other than to say that perhaps we could look at the standing orders
Senator
about
Hume,
this sort of phrase, about
order on my right. Order on my right. Order on my right. I am in charge of the chamber, and I will deal with this matter. Senator Hume.
Madam President, I will obviously withdraw. But I would like you to review the standing orders on referring to a collective as opposed to individuals.
That's right. Senator Hume, the implication is quite clear.
The implication was that the government was lying, not
an individual. Senator Hume, please resume your seat. Senator Hume, please withdraw your seat. Please resume your seat. Senators, I've asked you to resume your seat. Senators, whilst I acknowledge there has been a lot of debate in the media and certain words used, the Senate chamber has standing orders and precedents. And one of those relates to the word that I asked you to withdraw. I don't intend to go through question time reminding every senator who stands to ask a question, or indeed any senator who responds, to withdraw. I've made a ruling on that. It's within the standing orders. It's within the precedents. When I ask you to withdraw, it's not an open invitation to debate with me. I note you have withdrawn. Please continue with your question.
Thank you, Madam President. So after repeatedly and egregiously misleading the Australian people, how can the Australian people ever trust you or your government again?
Thank you, Senator Hume. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you for the question. And the answer to that question is the Australian people can always trust this government to focus on cost of living. As much as that hurts you over there, they know.
Minister Gallagher, please resume your seat. Order. Order on my left. Order. Minister Gallagher, please continue.
That the Australian people can always trust this government to make the right decisions for the right reason, to front up and own those decisions, explain those decisions and to focus on their needs. While your leader was out over summer stoking division and calling for Woolworths to be boycotted, remember that? And threaten the jobs of 200,000 Australians. While he was wandering around doing that, we were focused on the things that matter to the Australian people. How do we provide them with cost of living relief when they need it as soon as we can? And when we took that decision, we fronted up, we owned it, we explained it, and we will continue to do so. We took that decision for the right reason. It wasn't, as some might have said, we went in with our eyes open that this was changing our position. It wasn't an easy decision. We looked at it carefully, but it came increasingly clear that this was a real way that we could make a difference in 11.5 million Australians getting a bigger tax cut and every Australian taxpayer getting a tax cut. And you are backing it. You accept that it is the right policy for the right time. So it's distracted you from having to follow the scare campaigns and the politics of division, because you're having to back in something that is right. This is the right policy for the right economic circumstances. It will make a difference in household budgets, and we back it. We back it absolutely.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Hume, first supplementary.
Thank you, Madam President. It's terrific to hear, Minister, that you owned it. When asked repeatedly on the Today program last week to rule out changes to negative gearing, you said, "It's not my government, it's the Albanese government, and we have no plans on negative gearing." Minister, are you trying to say, as the Treasurer did on Monday, or the Treasury did on Monday, that this was in fact a captain's call by the Prime Minister and nothing to do with you?
Thank you, Senator Hume. Minister Gallagher.
Second question that's already falling over.
I'm not sure what
I have, Minister Gallagher.
There's a lot of preamble there. There was a lot of preamble there. I am standing here and I am taking responsibility. I am the Finance Minister. I was involved in the decisions. I did work over the summer with the Treasurer and the Prime Minister, laser focused on providing cost of living relief to Australian households. That's what matters. That's the work we did over summer while you were preparing for Nemesis and for all your little slots on that. And Peter Dutton was out working out a way to lose 200,000 jobs in Woolworths. We were working
on making sure that middle and low income households got a fair share of the tax cuts. And that is the proposal that, whilst you've slithered and awkwardly moved around it, that you are now backing and you accept is the right policy.
Thank you, Minister Gallagher. Minister Gallagher, do remind you to refer to others, those in the other place, by their correct titles. Senator Hume, second supplementary.
President, Minister, aren't you embarrassed that no Australian will ever trust anything that you or your colleagues say ever again?
Thank you, Senator Hume. Minister Gallagher.
Well, the feedback that I've had on the decision the government's taken has been overwhelmingly positive, and they have appreciated the fact that the government is making decisions in the national interest based on the economic circumstances of the time. They're not interested
Senator
in the
O'Sullivan.
Silly games and the politics of division that you love, that you are addicted to, that you can't get off. They want a government to front up and to make decisions, sometimes hard decisions, and this is a hard and was a hard decision. We knew it was changing our position, and that's why the Prime Minister went to the press club and he spoke about it. And we've done interview after interview explaining our position. And whilst you
Senator
said
McKenzie.
You oppose it, you're going to reverse it, you're absolutely going to roll it back, now you've decided to back it. Anthony Albanese's tax plan is supported by the Liberal and National Party of Australia.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Faruqi.
My question is to the Minister for Foreign Affairs, Senator Penny Wong. Just when one thinks that the Labor government couldn't sink any lower on Palestine, they have made the appalling and extremely irresponsible decision to suspend funding for UNRWA. 4 months of Israel's genocide, with 27,000, more than 27,000 Palestinians killed, including over 11,000 children, and you haven't uttered a word of condemnation. Yet, it took you no time at all to suspend life-saving funding to UNRWA, further enabling collective punishment of Palestinians as Israel continues its rampage and massacre in Gaza. UNRWA chief Mr. Philippe Lazzarani has said that Israel has yet to present any evidence of its allegations to UNRWA. Minister, what evidence did you see before you made the catastrophic decision to suspend UNRWA's funding?
Thank you, Senator Faruqi. Minister Wong.
There is so much, thank you, President, there's so much in that question which is false. And it reminds us again that, just like Peter Dutton, the Greens,
Minister Wong,
the
please,
Greens,
please refer to.
So I'm sorry, I apologise. The opposition leader, Mr. Dutton, and the Greens are on a unity
Senator
ticket,
Rustin.
Which is all about dividing the Australian community and weaponising this horrific conflict. You're the same, and you are. And there are
Minister
two facts
Wong,
in relation
Minister
to
Wong,
UNRWA.
Please resume your seat, Senator McGrath. Senator Scar, I beg your pardon.
I take it as a compliment. President, the conflation of the Greens'
Senator,
position with,
Senator, what
with
is
Peter
your
Dutton
point of
is
order?
A personal
Senator,
imputation.
Senator Scar, that is not a point of order. Minister Wong.
Well, I would say two things I'm going to say about UNRWA. First, there are two facts we cannot ignore in relation to UNRWA. The first is they do life-saving work. And I would remind you, Senator Faruqi, that we doubled the core funding to UNRWA. I would remind you of that. Something you never say, something you do not acknowledge. Are you shaking your head now? See, here we go again. The second point is the recent allegations against its staff are grave and need to be investigated. Those facts are both true. And that is why we have suspended, along with many of our like-minded partners, pending these matters being carefully considered. But I have to say this about it is of deep regret that while the government is seeking to use our voice to advocate for the release of hostages, for the protection of civilian lives, for humanitarian access and for a pathway out of this conflict, we do not have partners in this effort in either the opposition or the Greens. They would rather see a community divided, and they would rather try and use this to pick off votes. That is what is happening. And that is the similarity between the opposition and the Greens. I remind the Greens that we still have 130 hostages being held by Hamas. I remind them of that. I remind those opposite that there are 1.7 million people in Gaza who are internally displaced. The reality is that we are seeking to play a constructive role. There are two parties in this place who are playing politics with this conflict.
Thank you, Senator Wong. One of them is just asking a question. Their time for answering has expired. Senator Faruqi. Senator Thorpe, order.
You're still standing with this, right?
Senator McKim. Senator Faruqi, first supplementary.
Thank you, Chair. Minister, I did not need a lesson in gaslighting. Millions of Palestinians have been forcibly displaced. Families are forced to move repeatedly in search of safety under Israel's bombardment. Over 66,000 Palestinians have been injured. Children are being starved and traumatized. Pregnant women are giving birth in tents. Given all this evidence of acute humanitarian needs and the urgency of aid, Minister Wong, when will you restore the funding?
Your time has expired. Your time has expired. Minister Wong.
Thank you, President. I would
Minister
say to
Wong, Minister Wong, I'm sorry, resume your seat. Senators, there are very different opinions across this chamber on a range of matters. This is one. Senator Faruqi has the right to ask her question in silence, and the minister has the right to answer it in silence. Minister.
I would invite First Senator Faruqi to perhaps consider what I said in a press conference on Thursday with the New Zealand Foreign Minister and Defence Ministers, where I went through precisely some of the facts to which he has adverted. In an explanation amidst those who are calling, who are attacking the government for our funding and support over many years, including under the previous government of UNRWA, I reminded people why the Australian government now and previously has funded that organisation, and that is because it is the only association, the only entity which has been capable of delivering assistance into the occupied Palestinian territories. That is also why we increased the core funding. And I'd invite you in your social media and public media to perhaps recognise that. I also made the point that 1.7 million people are internally displaced. I made the point there are increasingly few safe places for Palestinians to go. I reminded people that there are a million at risk of starvation and 400,000 Palestinians in Gaza
households
still.
Senator Faruqi, second supplementary.
Thank you, President. Minister, we're coming up to week two of complete silence from the Labor government on the International Court of Justice ruling, which found that Israel is plausibly committing genocide and gave a clear signal to Australia to stop aiding, abetting and shielding Israel. Minister, when will the Labor government break its cowardly silence on the ICJ ruling?
Thank you, Senator Faruqi. Minister Wong.
Senator Faruqi has not looked at what we have done and said, and I would invite her to look at the joint statement that the Australian government, through Minister of Defence, the Deputy Prime Minister and I, alongside our New Zealand Prime Ministers, released with the 2+2 last week, which also specifically referenced the ICJ, and I would refer her to our statement there, which included the expectation that we respect the independence of the ICJ. We respect the critical role it plays in upholding international law and the rules-based order, and both countries articulated. You don't want to hear the answer, Senator Faruqi. You just want to personally attack me. Is that right? It's par for the course.
Senator Wong,
our shared expectation is that Israel will act in accordance with the ICJ's ruling. Now, you may not think that's of significance. We're two countries, two Five Eyes countries.
Thank you, Senator Wong.
Their
time for answering has expired. Senator Grogan.
Thank you, President. My question is to the Minister representing the Treasurer, Senator Gallagher. From the 1st of July this year, the Albanese Labor government will deliver a tax cut for every Australian taxpayer. I know that Australians in my home state of South Australia have had it tough for the last couple of years, and with cost of living pressures persisting. Can the minister inform the Senate about how many more Australians will benefit from the Albanese Labor government's tax cuts?
Thank you, Senator Grogan. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you, President. I thank Senator Grogan for the question. And I am very pleased to confirm to the Senate that the Albanese Labor government is delivering a tax cut for every Australian taxpayer commencing on July 1. Labor's new tax cuts will make a real difference to 13.6 million Australians. Our tax cuts have been deliberately and carefully designed to provide bigger tax cuts for middle Australia to help with those cost of living pressures, while at the same time making the tax system fairer. We know that many Australians are under pressure right now and deserve a tax cut, including those living in Senator Grogan's home state of South Australia, where 89% of South Australian taxpayers will get a bigger tax cut. And we've found a more responsible way to ensure more people get a bigger tax cut to help ease the pressure they're under. Under our plan, working Australians will keep more of the wages they earn, and we are proud to be delivering this significant economic reform, which helps to increase labour supply in crucial industries such as the care economy that will need more workers in the future, with female labour supply expected to increase by around 0.4%. Our tax cuts deliver a bigger benefit to more than 90% of taxpayers in in-demand occupations such as teachers, nurses, aged and disability carers and childcare workers. Importantly, and building on the first budget surplus delivered in 15 years, our tax plan delivers more relief to more people in a way that is fiscally responsible and doesn't add to inflationary pressures. Treasury's advice makes it clear that our tax changes will not add to inflation pressures because they are broadly revenue neutral, and our changes also mean that every Australian taxpayer will receive a tax cut this year.
Thank you, Minister Gallagher. Senator Grogan, first supplementary. Senator Thorpe, come to order. Senator Thorpe. Senator Thorpe, order. Senator Grogan, first supplementary.
Thank you, President. Thank you, Senator Gallagher. That's very helpful. 89% is significant for South Australia. It's clear that these tax cuts have been designed to offer greater relief for middle Australia, addressing cost of living pressures and ensuring a fairer tax system. Can the minister outline how the adjustments to tax rates and thresholds will deliver a bigger benefit for more Australians?
Minister Gallagher.
Thank you.
Resume your seat, please, Minister. Senator Thorpe, I've called you to order about four times. That's three times too many. You are being disrespectful to me and this chamber. Minister Gallagher, please continue.
Thank you, President. I thank Senator Grogan for the supplementary question. Our tax reform package has been carefully designed to improve the financial wellbeing of Australians, particularly those in low and middle income brackets. So from July 1, the adjustments to tax rates and tax thresholds will deliver broader and more support to Australian taxpayers. We're reducing the 19% rate to 16% for incomes between $18,200 and $45,000, and the 32.5% rate to 30% for incomes up to $135,000, amongst other changes. This provides broader cost of living relief than arrangements previously in place to taxpayers, especially for those on low and middle incomes who are more vulnerable to those cost pressures. Our plan is projected to benefit only over 13.6 million taxpayers, ensuring that a vast majority, though including those in critical sectors, such as those in your home state, Senator Grogan, in education and healthcare, will see an increase in their take-home pay.
Senator Grogan, second supplementary.
We know that Australians are continuing to do it tough, and the Albanese government's tax cuts are just the latest important element of the government's response to cost of living challenges being faced by Australians. Can the minister outline how Labor's tax cuts work to build on the existing suite of targeted cost of living measures that the government has already delivered for Australians?
Thank you, Senator Grogan. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you, President. I thank Senator Grogan for the supplementary. And as Senator Grogan outlined, this is just one part of our cost of living plan, because complementing the tax plan, the tax relief that will roll out on the 1st of July with the support of Senator Hume and others, the Albanese government is delivering real cost of living relief, much of it opposed by those opposite. And we do accept that the tax plan was initially opposed, and then they got, I don't know about this, we better crab walk away from that opposition on this one. But they did oppose electricity bill relief. They did oppose making medicines cheaper. They did oppose making it easier and cheaper to see a doctor. They did oppose the Housing Australia Future Fund and the effort that we're putting in there, and I believe they may have as well opposed fee-free TAFE. All of these measures that go to make a difference to Australian households where we've had opposition from those
Thank
opposite.
Thank you, Minister. Senator David Pocock.
Thank you, President. My question is to the Minister representing the Minister for Housing, Senator Farrell. With homeless Australians dying on the street at an average of 44 years of age, a new survey by InfoChoice last week showed 7 out of 10 Australians are experiencing rental stress. Vacancy rates are at record lows and people are lining up in their scores, often over 100, to view a single rental listing. What progress has National Cabinet made on rental reforms?
Thank you, Senator Pocock. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thank Senator Pocock for his question. And I don't disagree with any of the statistics that you've referred to in your question there. And of course, this government fully understands that many Australians are finding it very tough in the current rental market. More than 30% of Australians were renting a home at the last census, and we obviously hear the concerns of renters, and we're trying to take action to address them. As you've referred to, there have been discussions with the states and the territories through, and of course local government, through the National Cabinet. National Cabinet, so the Commonwealth, the states, the territory governments, committed to a better deal for renters, to harmonise and strengthen renters' rights all across Australia. This included developing a nationally consistent framework with the requirement for genuine, reasonable grounds for eviction, moving towards limiting rental increases to once a year, and phasing in minimum rental standards, among other changes to make renting fairer in this country. These changes will make a tangible impact for almost one third of Australian households who rent. But of course, we know that the best way to improve the position of renters is to increase the supply of homes. And of course, the Albanese government is committed to a very ambitious reform agenda.
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Pocock, first supplementary.
Thanks, President. Thank you, Minister. The Prime Minister said on the 28th of April last year, and to quote, housing ministers will develop a proposal for National Cabinet in the second half of 2023 outlining reforms to strengthen renters' rights, which you referred to. It's now February 2024, and I'm wondering where the government's at and why this isn't more of a priority given cost of living pressures being felt across the country.
Thank you, Senator Pocock. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thank Senator Pocock for his first supplementary question. It is the focus of all of our reforms to boost the supply of housing, more social rental housing, more affordable housing, and of course more private homes to rent and more homes to buy. The things that the government have done in the period that you're talking about, Senator Pocock, is of course the National Housing Accord that will support planning and zoning reforms, as well as investing $350 million in additional federal funding to deliver 10,000 affordable rental homes. Secondly, the $2 billion social housing accelerator has been delivered with projects announcement already being made, and we look forward to around 4,000 new social rental homes being delivered from this funding. The federal government's $3 billion...
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Pocock, second.
Thanks, President. Thank you, Minister. We'll continue to wait for the proposal to strengthen renters' rights. In the meantime, because of the cost of living pressures, I'm interested to know if you can advise how many Australians each month are accessing food banks around the country and how many of them are accessing it for the first time.
Thank you, Senator Pocock. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thank Senator Pocock for his second supplementary question. I don't have those statistics available to me at the moment, Senator Pocock, but I will endeavour to get them as quickly as I possibly can and provide them to you and to the Senate.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Vann.
Thank you, President. In light of the recent decision to reject the development... My question is to the Minister representing the Minister for Environment and Water, Minister Plibersek, Minister Wong. In light of the recent decision to reject the development proposal for the Port of Hastings project due to its projected impacts on the Ramsar-listed Western Port wetland, could the Minister advise the Chamber on the criteria and processes employed by the government in determining the support or rejection of significant projects, especially those intersecting with Australia's environmental obligations and renewable energy ambitions?
Thank you, Senator Vann. Minister Wong.
Thank you, President. I thank Senator Vann for the question. And as a matter of general principle, what I would say to him is that any decision under the Environment Protection and Biodiversity Conservation Act is a decision that is made through the application of that law to the particular facts of the case. That is the way in which ministers of the Crown, exercising their statutory obligations under that legislation, have done since its introduction, and that is the way Ms Plibersek would have approached this case. And the fact is that every project, housing, mining, energy, or so forth, is treated in this way. That is, the law is applied to particular facts, and the decision is made in relation to the minister to the application of the law to those facts. I am advised the project was deemed unacceptable because the Port of Hastings failed to show it was consistent with federal environmental law and its environmental law, and in particular the impact on internationally protected wetlands. I'm also advised that detailed reasons for the decision are publicly available online. I'm advised that the Port of Hastings is, of course, able to make another and revised application under the National Environmental Law, and that senior officials from both the Victorian and federal governments have already met to discuss possible next steps. The government will continue to consider each project on a case-by-case basis, consistent with the law in the way I have outlined.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Vann for supplementary.
Thank you, President. Given the paramount importance of developing clean energy infrastructure, such as offshore wind farms, for Australia's energy future, what steps is the government taking to reconcile the imperative of these developments with the safeguarding of our international environmental commitments and the biodiversity they aim to protect?
Thank you, Senator. Minister Wong.
We agree with Senator Vann as to the importance of developing renewable energy infrastructure, and it is a regrettable fact that those opposite in government ensured that there was so little investment in the energy infrastructure the country needed over the year period, nearly decade that they were in government. We obviously need to ensure that these projects, as any other projects, are able to obtain approval under national environmental law in the way that I have described. I'm also advised that, in fact, the Albanese government is approving more renewable energy projects than ever before. In fact, we have seen the approval of some 42 renewable energy projects, combined enough to power over 2 million homes, all households in Tassie, South Australia, Northern Territory and the ACT.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Vann, second supplementary.
Thank you, President. Considering the critical balance between environmental preservation and the need to reduce carbon emissions, is the government contemplating the introduction of an environmental protection mechanism of some sort within the project assessment framework to ensure a comprehensive evaluation of projects that accounts for both their environmental impact and their carbon reductions?
Thank you, Senator Vann. Minister Wong.
The advice I have is that the government will continue to consider each project on a case-by-case basis under the existing law. I'm also asked to to make reference or to advise the Senate of the of a range of renewables that Minister Plibersek has approved, which included the solar farm in Queensland, producing enough power for around 200,000 households. In the Senator's own home state of Victoria, one of the world's largest battery systems, which will power up to 1 million Victorian homes, two solar farms in New South Wales, a new wind farm in one of Queensland's oldest mining regions, and a huge battery energy storage system in WA to ease pressure on the grid and help us transition to a renewable future. I'm also advised that there are, in fact, a record 125 other renewable energy projects in the environmental approval pipeline, and in relation to the Port of Hastings, as I said, they are able to make a further application.
Has expired. Senator Lambie.
Thank you, Madam President. My question is to the Minister representing the Minister for Health. Last week, the government, indeed Australia, celebrated Medicare's 40th birthday. To commemorate this, the Prime Minister said, and I quote, "My government is delivering on its commitment to strengthen Medicare and make it easier and cheaper to get quality health care." The Health Minister said, and I quote, "It was a Labor government that built Medicare and is only a Labor government who will continue to protect and strengthen Medicare." End quote. Yet on the ground, I am hearing and seeing from an increasing number of Tasmanians that they are finding it more difficult to see a doctor. We have the lowest bulk billing take-up in the nation, and wait times to see specialists are way longer than they have ever been. So, Minister, what is your government doing and your Labor senators from Tasmania doing to encourage more doctors to take up bulk billing in Tasmania?
Thank you, Senator Lambie. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you, President. I thank Senator Lambie for the question, and it's a really important question of how we can continue to strengthen Medicare, and particularly in states where there has been historically issues around bulk billing. We have the same issues here in the ACT around bulk billing as Tasmania. And GP shortages and shortages for specialists as well. It is something that small jurisdictions have always struggled with because the bigger professions or the larger number of medical professionals tend to move to some of the bigger cities. But I think when you look back in the last 18 months of what we've tried to do, and yes, the health system is massive, and it takes time for investments to often show results. But what we've seen with the urgent care clinics and what we've seen with the bulk billing rates across the nation in just the few months since we provided that tripling of the incentive for bulk billing rates is showing good results. They are early results, but they are good results. I think the GP bulk billing rate has risen by 2.1 percentage points in the first 2 months since that tripling of the bulk billing incentive was introduced through the budget. I know the Minister for Health has been working with the Premier in Tasmania around models of care that work for Tasmania, including, I think, partnerships between the hospitals and primary health care, acknowledging some of the particular issues that Tasmania has. I know that the urgent care clinics are up and running and are being incredibly popular, but there is more to be done. We've got to encourage more people into general practice. We've got to look at incentives to support that, and the Health Minister is doing all of those things. But we inherited a system that was failing. Bulk billing rates were declining. GPs were under enormous pressure, and we have made the investments that you never did to fix it.
The time for answering has expired. Senator Lambie, first supplementary.
Thank you. In Tasmania, especially in regional areas like the northwest, we have the oldest, sickest and poorest Australians. I'm hearing from GP specialists and allied health professionals that it is getting harder and harder to service regional areas. Wait times for their patients are increasing. Goodness me, in Burnie itself, it is 6 months to get a podiatry appointment for anyone. Minister, how do you reconcile longer wait times and reduced access to health services with, and I quote, continuing to protect and strengthen Medicare?
Thank you, Senator Lambie. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you. Well, I think I've answered some of that in the first question, and I would say the government's responsibility around Medicare is to strengthen it and to provide those investments in it. In bulk billing, where I said the national average was a 2.1% increase across Australia, in Tasmania in 2 months, the incentive has increased bulk billing by 5.7%. That means Tasmanians have saved $990,000 between November and December on the bulk billing incentive. Tasmanians have saved more than $5 million on cheaper medicines. They have saved money on the 60-day prescribing, where we know that there are a lot of people who are eligible for that. We've got the urgent care clinics, where we've had over 13,500 presentations to those areas. And we've got the GP grants going out, where Tasmanians have got $3.46 million in those dollars worth of those grants. But there is more to be done, Senator Lambie, because we want everyone to have access to affordable health care in this country.
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Lambie, second supplementary.
Thank you, Madam President. As part of the 40-year birthday, Medicare is releasing a, and I quote, special edition Medicare card in 2024 to commemorate the 40th anniversary of Australia's world-class universal health insurance scheme, end quote. I'm just wondering, how much is that costing the taxpayer for a brand new shiny little car when we've already got one?
Thank you, Senator Lambie. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you. Well, I'll see if there's any further information I can provide on that. My understanding is they are going to be issued to people whose cards expire this year. So it's for people whose cards were going to expire. It won't be a reissuing for everybody. People who have a digital card, so who have it on their MyGov app or through the Medicare app, will also see it reflected on that electronic Medicare card. But my understanding, it's only to be provided to those who have a card that expires this year.
Thank you, Minister. Senator O'Neill.
Thank you, Madam President. My question is to the Minister representing the Minister for Social Services, Minister Farrell. Can the Minister update the Senate on what measures the Albanese Labor government is taking to help ease the cost of living pressures felt by Australian families?
Thank you, Senator O'Neill. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thank Senator O'Neill for her very important question. And yes, I can provide an answer to that question. From the 1st of July, the Albanese Labor government is delivering a tax cut for every Australian taxpayer to help tackle, tackle the cost of living pressures felt by families right across this country. These tax cuts are on top of the other significant supports introduced by the Albanese government through our $23 billion cost of living relief package, which is already helping ease the pressure on families and workers right across Australia. This includes cheaper childcare and extending paid parental leave, cheaper medicines and making it cheaper for more Australians to see a GP, and increasing income support payments for Australians who need them. Now we've taken these measures even further by delivering Labor's tax cuts, which are going to put more money back into the pockets of workers and families. Under Labor's tax cuts, Australians earning low and middle incomes will receive a greater cut compared to the Scott Morrison plan, former Prime Minister, as I recollect, including an additional 2.9 additional. including an additional 2.9 million people who have received nothing. And thanks to our changes to the Medicare levy low-income thresholds, more low-income families and individuals are going to pay less each year. Tackling cost of living pressures is the number one priority of the Albanese Labor government. That's why we're working to cut taxes, boost wages, bring inflation under control, and deliver.
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator O'Neill, first supplementary.
Thank you very much, Senator Farrell, for your answer. And can the minister also outline how Labor's efforts to ease cost of living pressures will benefit workers, families and taxpayers in my great home state, New South Wales?
Thank you, Senator O'Neill. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thanks, Senator O'Neill, for her first supplementary question. Labor's tax cuts and our policies to deliver cost of living relief are great news for New South Wales, under Labor's plan, around 83% of taxpayers in New South Wales will receive, 83%, I'll repeat that, will receive a bigger tax cut. This is in addition to the cost of living relief that we've delivered for people in New South Wales, with 338,000 people benefiting from our increases to job seeker payments and 308,000 households eligible for the increased maximum rate of Commonwealth rent assistance. These measures will assist cost of living, and Labor's tax cuts will put more money into the pockets of families, workers and taxpayers right across New South Wales, Senator O'Neill.
Thank you, Minister. Senator O'Neill, second supplementary.
Thank you. I thank the Minister for his answer, and it's fantastic to actually hear that families in New South Wales can count on this government to address cost of living and 83% better off in New South Wales. Can the Minister also advise the Senate of what the blockages have been in delivering the Albanese Labor government's plan for easing cost of living pressure for Australian families?
Thank you, Senator O'Neill. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thank Senator O'Neill for her second supplementary question. And we are serious about tackling the cost of living pressures faced by families across Australia. However, at every turn, the Leader of the Coalition, Peter Dutton, and the Coalition have stood in the way, including our actions on electricity bill relief, cheaper childcare, cheaper medicines, free TAFE, more social and affordable housing, and getting wages for Australian workers and their families moving again. Cost of living relief remains our number one priority, and we will continue to take action even if the Coalition continues its negativity and its obstruction. Labor's tax cuts are the next step in our broader plans to ease cost of living pressures by boosting incomes, reducing costs and delivering relief for families.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Canavan.
Thank you, Madam President. My question is to the Minister representing the Minister for Climate Change and Energy, Minister Wong. Minister, the government's own community engagement review of renewable energy projects surveyed 250 landowners and community members who live in close proximity to renewable energy infrastructure or transmission projects. The results of that survey are a shocking wake-up call. 92% of respondents are dissatisfied with the engagement of project developers, and 85% said their concerns were not addressed in a timely manner. Farmers like Ben Duxon, who's here in the gallery today from central Victoria, have travelled to Canberra to express their concerns about the farm-destroying projects like VNI West being promoted by this government. Minister, why has the government not adjusted its plans and listened to people like Ben and adjusted its plans to install 22,000 solar panels a day and a wind turbine every 18 hours in response to the immense opposition to these projects in rural and regional Australia?
Thank you, Senator Canavan. Minister Wong.
Thank you, President, and I acknowledge those who attended the rally and those who are here today in the chamber or in the gallery. But I would say to you, Senator Canavan, you and your party spent nearly a decade refusing to ensure that this country had the infrastructure which was required to transition to renewable energy, to clean energy. You did. You, Mr Joyce and others, had 10 years to fix this up. And all that happened because of your opposition is that more generating capacity exited the system. It's quite a remarkable achievement. You actually presided over at a time where demand was increasing, less supply. I know
Minister
that is
Wong,
hard.
Minister Wong, please resume your seat. Senator Canavan.
Thank you, Madam President. Just on relevance, my question went to the concerns of farmers. And the Minister spent almost half the question speaking about the previous government, not those concerns that revealed in our own government's report.
Thank you, Senator order in the gallery. It's not appropriate to make any comment, including clapping. Minister, I'll draw you to the question.
Think it's relevant that, in fact, the energy system in Australia was reducing in terms of the capacity which was required because there was insufficient investment in generation. And that is a real fact, and it's an economic fact. Having said that, I understand that on Friday, Minister Bowen stood up in regional New South Wales and released the final report of the Australian Energy Infrastructure Commissioner, Mr Dyer, on the Community Engagement Review. Commissioner Dyer and his team have undertaken work They've demonstrated fine work. They've engaged with communities from across Australia about their experiences of energy development. This review will help ensure local landholders and regional communities are heard and receive real benefits of the renewable energy transformation. We know Order. That for far too long,
Order. I'll remind the people in the gallery, if you interject, you'll be removed. Order, Senator Colbeck. You understand the procedures in this chamber. It is my job to maintain order. That includes you. Don't talk back. You're not in a debate with me. Minister, please continue.
It is the case that community engagement around infrastructure hasn't been up to scratch. And we do need to make the reforms necessary
thank you,
to improve community
engagement.
The time
for answering has expired. Senator Canavan, Minister, supplementary.
Thank you, Madam President. Minister, Mr Glenn Kelly is also here in the gallery today. He operates a fifth-generation family farm just outside of Rockhampton. He's travelled here with thousands of others to attend the rally this morning. Glenn faces the destruction of his local environment through the construction of over 50 massive wind turbines, three times the height of the Parliament House flag, and the destruction of koala and sugar cloud habitats. Why isn't the government listening to people like Glenn about the impacts of these industrial projects in rural communities?
Order. Order. Senator Wish Wilson. Order. Minister Wong.
What I would say to Mr Kelly and—
Senator Davey. Order. Senator Davey, I should not have to call you twice, nor you, Senator McKim. I ask for order across the chamber to beg your— I'm sorry, Senator McKim, Senator Wish Wilson. Order across the chamber. Minister, please continue.
Thank you. What I would say to Mr Kelly and his friends and colleagues, and what I would say to you, Senator Canavan, is to remind you that the system under which these complaints are being made is the system that was in place under your government.
Correct.
And as I understand it, the reason the minister has commissioned a report from Mr Dyer, Commissioner Dyer, is in order to improve it. So again, the system under which these complaints are being made was a coalition government system. We are now seeking, through the report that—
Order. Particularly on my left. Minister, please continue.
I'll repeat myself. This system was a system in place under the previous government.
That's right.
That is the system under which these complaints are being made.
That's right.
And no amount of yelling is going to distract from that. What we are trying to do is improve it. Because we accept, well, that is what the intention of the Dyer, of Commissioner Dyer's review is to try
thank you,
and
Minister.
Improve
the
it.
The time for answering has expired. Senator Canavan, second supplementary.
Thank you, Madam Acting President. Well, Minister, we didn't
have— Senator, I'm not the Acting President.
Sorry, Madam President. Minister, we didn't have a ridiculous 82% renewable energy target that you have. We didn't have that. Frank Future is the owner of Imagine Cruises at Port Stephens in New South Wales. He left Port Stephens at 3 a.m. this morning to make sure he could get here today. He is concerned that his whale-watching and dolphin cruise business will be decimated by the proposed offshore wind farm, harming wildlife and destroying his important tourism economy. Why is this government so intent on destroying our environment in pursuit of its ridiculous 82% renewable energy target?
Before I call the minister, I remind those in the chamber, if you interject again, you will be removed. I also remind those in the chamber that— Order. Senator Canavan, you've asked a serious question. I presume you want an answer. I also ask people not to interject, senators, because Senator Canavan has the right to ask his question in silence. Minister Wong.
Thank you, President. Well, first, I think Senator Canavan indicated yet again what is actually driving this from his perspective and what led to those opposite in government never doing anything about this, and that is you're opposed to renewables. It's very clear.
Senator
That's
Canavan,
fine. At least you're upfront about it. Unfortunately, Mr Morrison and Mr Dutton took a different view and not being upfront about it. The second point I would make, and let me read this quote. Can I read this quote? Please, this is a very important quote.
Order.
This is a politician, a particular person said this, I'll tell you who at the end. The habitat for renewables should be on rooftops and wind towers. It should be offshore. Oh. It should be offshore.
Who said that?
Mr. Littleproud.
Oh.
Mr. Littleproud. Oh, so when they come to your rallies and tell you how much of a friend they are, perhaps we should recognise that, in fact, their own Nationals leader has argued that these projects should be offshore. To be placed on notice.
Thank you, Senator Wong.